Hello, brother.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well, I'm doing well. Is everything going good there?
Yes, we are fine.
Good.
We are ready for the class.
Okay.
Can you start with the word of prayer?
We can do that.
Our brother will translate for us El Balik Lucas from Arusha.
Okay. Well, we can go ahead and open with a prayer then.
You can lead us in prayer.
Okay. Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you today and ask that you bless this class. And we ask that you be with us as we study your word and help us to apply it to our lives. And we ask that you always forgive us when we fail you, because we know we do that often. And Lord, we ask that as we study the book of 2 Peter today, that it's a section that will be beneficial to us. And Lord, we also ask that you bless the Bible school that we're partaking in now and help it to grow. And it's in all these things through your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, we're studying the book of 2 Peter. And last week, we actually went through the main outline of the book, and we talked about four different points that Peter makes. So, very quickly, I'd like for us to run through that outline one more time before we pick back up where we were. The first point that Peter tries to make is remember to grow your faith. And growing your faith will actually be the point that we talk about the most today. Later on in chapter 1, he talks about remembering to study your scriptures. And this is also, studying your scriptures is also a very important topic that we'll get to later. And then in the remaining two chapters of the book, he tells us to watch out for two things: false teachers and the day of the Lord. So it's four main important things that Peter wants to say before he is killed. And I'm always encouraged when I read the book of 2 Peter because of how important Peter thought it was. So let's pick back up where we were, and if you'd like to ask somebody in the class, they can read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Would somebody in the class like to read that, or would you rather me read it? Okay, so Peter says that Jesus gives us everything that we need for this life. Anything that we could need in this life in order to live it the way God wants us to, Peter says that Jesus gives us this ability. But he does offer one thing, one note that we have to escape the sinfulness of the world in order to receive these blessings. If we cannot escape the sinfulness of the world, then we cannot be partakers of the things that Jesus offers us. So these are the things that we studied last week, and it's important for us to remember what these verses mean before we move into our new material. So our new material will begin in verse 5, and I'll read that verse now. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:5, he says, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue." Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, this is a very important thing for us to understand. He says at the beginning of the verse, "For this very reason." Now, what reason is he talking about? If he says "for this reason," he's talking about the reasons that he's just discussed, the things that we just talked about in the last two verses. In the next three or four verses, he's going to explain several things that we need to do in order to grow our faith. He says we need to grow our faith because Jesus gives us these blessings. And that's an important thing for us to remember from this, is we should grow our faith because of the things that Jesus has offered to us, because we love Him. Now, We move into verse 5, and it says, because of all these things, make every effort.
Katika mstari wa 5, anasema kwa sababu hizi, tumia juhudi au nguvu zote.
Now, I'm not sure about the translation into Swahili here, but make every effort in English really implies that you need to do everything you can to accomplish this goal.
Anasema katika tafsiri ya Kiswahili hajui, lakini katika tafsiri ya Kiingereza, effort ni fanya lolote lile uwezalo, yani ni juhudi na maarifa.
For an example, if someone told you, make every effort to go talk to this person today, then you would make sure that nothing stopped you from talking to that person. Make every effort means that it needs to be one of the highest priorities in our life to do what he says to do. Now, having that said, beginning at the last part of verse 5, he lists 7 qualities that we need to be adding to our lives. These 7 qualities are very important qualities, and if you want to grow your faith, these are the things that you need to be working on. Now, we're going to go through these 7 things, but these 7 characteristics are very important to Christians. Now, the first thing that he says is make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Now, there's a lot of different translations of the word virtue here. Some people are going to write this word as virtue. Others are going to write it as excellence. Some are even going to say courage. So it's important for us to really understand all the different translations of this word in order to really understand what Peter was trying to say. Again, some people are going to say it's talking about morality, and other people are going to say it's talking about the courage to act on your faith. Now, I tend to believe that what Peter is trying to say here is add to your faith the courage to act out that faith. He says, make every effort to add to your faith the ability to act out that faith and the courage to act it out. And really this makes good sense, because if we have faith, but we don't act on that faith, then what good is it?
Anasema, je, kama tutakuwa tuna imani, lakini hatuitendei kazi, ile imani itakuwa imekufa.
And we can have our faith and we can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but if we don't do anything about it, then what difference does that make? We definitely need courage to act on our faith, and I'm reminded of a passage in James, and I'm going to read that now. Okay, in James chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Yani wewe kama una imani una matendo nionyeshe hiyo imani yako, lakini mimi naweza nikakuonyesha imani yangu kupitia matendo.
And James goes on to say in this passage that if you have faith but you don't do anything about that faith, then it's a dead faith.
Maana ya kwamba Yakobo anatuonyesha wazi kwamba kama una imani lakini ufanye chochote kinachoonekana katika hiyo imani yako, ina maana hiyo imani imekufa.
And I think this is a very important thing for us to be working on in our lives, and it's the first thing that Peter tells us here. I apologize for my coughing. I seem to be getting a little sick. Are there any questions right now as we move it throughout these verses? Is there anything anybody wants to say or ask? Okay. Okay. If there are no questions, then we'll move on. And verse 5 continues, and it says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. I think it's important the way that Peter is giving us these characteristics. He doesn't just list them all in order. He says, supplement your faith with virtue, and then he says, supplement your virtue with knowledge. He says, not only do we need the courage to act on our faith, but we also need the knowledge to understand what we need to do. We cannot serve God if we do not know God. And this will be a passage that we'll study later, but we cannot underestimate the fact that we need to study our scriptures.
Anasema kabla sijaenda kifungu cha kinachofuata baada ya hapa cha msingi kwanza ni kujifunza maandiko.
We must study in order to understand who God is and what he expects from us.
Lazima tujifunze Mungu nani, hicho Mungu anachotarajia kwetu, kujifunza.
This knowledge of God is very important to our faith. We must understand how to apply our virtue to our faith.
ifanye imani yetu kuwa hai ambayo inaambatana na matendo.
So that's two things that Peter has told us that we need to work on. We need to work on our courage, and we need to work on our knowledge.
Well, mambo mawili muhimu ambayo Peter ameyasisitiza ni sisi kuwa na ufahamu, elimu ya kumfahamu Mungu, pia kuwa na juhudi na maarifa ili kuweza kufikia lengo ambalo umekusudia.
Now we move on to verse 6, and he continues this list. He says in verse 6, he says, and knowledge with self-control. He says, add to your knowledge self-control.
Katika ufahamu wako, yani elimu ulionayo, ongezea kujizuia.
So in addition to studying our scriptures and understanding what we need to do, we need to be able to self-control our lives. Now, when I think about self-control, I think about an athlete. When an athlete is training, I think about maybe a soccer player or a runner. When these people are training to do what they do, they self-control themselves. These people can't go around and do the same things that other people do because they are training for something.
Wanaweza kutembea kama watu wengine na kusunguka kama watu wengine, lakini wanacho kile ambacho wanafundishwa wanakizingatia.
In much the same way, Peter says, we as Christians can't run around like the world does because we're training for something.
Kwa hiyo, sisi kama wa Kristo, ni wanadamu lakini hatuwezi kufanana na wale ambao hawajamfahamu Kristo.
We must train ourselves to live holy lives and lives that are acceptable of Jesus. And make no mistake that it takes work. It takes work to do this. If we've been living in a life full of sin for 40 years, it's difficult for us to stop and start leaving that sin behind. But we must be able to control ourselves. We must be able to say, I'm done with sin, and I'm moving on to something else. Self-control is the third thing that Peter tells us we need to work on. Now moving on in chapter 1 in verse 6, he gives us the fourth characteristic to work on. He says in verse 6, he says, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness. In addition to controlling ourselves and resisting temptation, we must add steadfastness. This means when we're under temptation and we're being tempted by the devil, we must have patience and endurance to withstand this temptation.
Lazima tuwe na ile ari ya kushinda jaribu.
You know, we understand that we have to have self-control and we have to resist temptation, but we also need to understand that we need to do this on a continuous basis. Resisting temptation once is good, but it's not good enough. We must be able to resist it for our entire lives. Now, this steadfastness is something that we don't just learn about in 2 Peter. This is all throughout the Bible. Yeah, many places in the Bible it says, have faith and knowledge of God and hold to that faith no matter what. No matter how you're tempted, and no matter who is persecuting you, make sure you don't fall into temptation. Now, I actually want us to turn over now to another passage that I think will help us understand this point, and it's in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and I want us to look at verses 9 and 10. If someone would like to read in the class, you could have them read Revelation 2, verses 9 and 10. Now here Jesus himself is speaking to the church at Smyrna. Now if you've studied the book of Revelation, you know that Jesus speaks to seven different congregations here, and Smyrna is one of them. Now, for each congregation, Jesus goes through and tells them something that they specifically need to hear. When he speaks to the church at Smyrna, he talks about the things that Smyrna is dealing with, and he does the same thing for all the other six. And interestingly enough, for the church at Smyrna here, he doesn't really have much bad to say about them. He doesn't have a whole lot of negative things to say about the church at Smyrna. He really praises them for what they're doing.
Kanisa la Smyrna,
And he says, beginning in verse 9 that we just read, that he says, I know that you're going through a lot of things, and I know you're being persecuted very badly right now. And in verse 10, he continues on and he said, you're about to go through some more things. Some of you are going to be thrown into prison. Some of you are going to be tested, and it's going to be bad. And then at the end of verse 10, he says something that's important to us relative to our discussion of steadfastness. He says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, unfortunately, a lot of times people misunderstand what this verse means. He says, be faithful unto death. This does not mean be faithful until the time comes that you are supposed to die. He's not saying be faithful until a specific time. What he's really trying to say is be faithful no matter what. No matter what you may go through, no matter what kind of persecution or temptation that becomes you, you don't give in. He says, even if resisting this temptation means that you're going to die, don't give in. I think the verse would be better translated if it says, be faithful even if it means death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now back in 2 Peter 1, 6, let's think about how that affects us here. He says, add to your faith the courage to act on your faith. And then he says, add to this virtue the knowledge and the understanding of what God expects of you. And then he says, add to that understanding and that knowledge the self-control to resist temptation. And then, he says in verse 6, which is what we've been talking about, he says, add to this self-control the ability to do so even if it means your death.
Usikane, usimame na ile imani, ndio maana ya kuwa mwaminifu hata kufa.
Yaani kitu kama kitakugharimu maisha yako, wewe usifanye nini? Sikate tamaa.
Now, I think that when we think about them building on each other like this, they really have new meaning for us. Now, as we move on in verse 6, he then says, add to your steadfastness godliness. So the fifth thing that we need to add to our faith and add as we build it onto each other is godliness. Now this godliness really comes with a meaning of reverence for our Lord. It really means to have reverence and respect for our Creator. Now, way too much in America, I know it happens in America, we are very much too not respectful of God. People speak about the Lord with no respect at all here. I'm sure that in certain places where you are, the same thing can be found. For some unfortunate reason, people do not respect their Lord. But this respect is something that we definitely need to have, and it needs to affect our lives. I'm actually reminded of a story about Moses, and we won't turn there, but we'll talk about it. If you'll remember, and you can look this up later if you want to, if you remember, Moses had run away from Egypt, and he was called to a burning bush by the Lord. And this bush was burning, but it wasn't burning up, and it was the Lord in this bush, and it called Moses over to it. Now imagine being in this position and imagine God calling you to walk over towards Him. As Moses approached, the Lord said to him, take off your shoes, for the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. Moses was told to take off his sandals before he approached the Lord. Now, I don't think that God told him to do this because his feet were dirty or his shoes were dirty. I think he told him to do this because he needed to have respect for God. Now, I don't think that this is something that we necessarily have to do today, but Moses was told to do this to have respect and make sure that he was treating God differently than he treated everybody else.
Kwa hiyo tunachotakiwa sisi kukifanya au tunachotakiwa kukifanya sisi katika neno hili haina tofauti na ile ya Musa kuambia afue viatu kwa kuonyesha heshima.
He says in verse 6, make sure that you're adding to your steadfastness godliness.
Kwa hiyo katika mstari wa 6 ametuambia kwamba tuongeze hali ya nidhamu ya uungu katika kusimama kwetu imara.
Make sure that as you're resisting temptation over an extended period of time, make sure you're doing this with a reverence for our Lord.
Kwa hiyo unapopambana na majaribu na kujizuia usiingie katika jaribu ili kutenda dhambi, ndio msimamo ambao tunatakiwa kuwa nao katika imani ambayo tunafundishwa katika hicho kitabu cha waraka wa
Filipi. Now this actually brings us to verse 7 and the final two characteristics that we're to add to our faith. And I really don't want to get into those this week because they really need to be discussed together. So we'll stop our discussion of 2 Peter here. And if anybody has any questions or comments that they'd like to make, we can do that now.
Katika kitabu cha waraka wa pili wa Petro mstari wa kwanza mpaka wa sita kama una swali. He did not understand the meaning of to put off shoes. What does it mean?
Okay. Well, when Moses was approaching the burning bush, the Lord asked him to take his shoes off of his feet.
Anasema wakati Musa alipoitwa na Mungu kwenye kile kichaka kilichokuwa kinawaka moto, Mungu alimwamuru avue viatu.
Now this is not something that we're required to do today.
Sio jambo ambalo sisi tunatakiwa kufanya leo.
But during this time of Moses, Moses was showing respect for God by taking his shoes off of his feet before he approached him.
Lakini kwa kipindi kile cha Musa, Musa alionyesha heshima kwa kile kitendo cha kuvua viatu alipoitwa na
Mungu. The physical act of taking his shoes off wasn't really important. What was important was the symbol of respect that he was showing for God.
Hiyo kilichokuwa muhimu pale sio kile kitendo cha Musa kuvua viatu, lakini ni ile hali ya kuonyesha heshima mbele za Mungu.
Now, as we apply that to our lives, how can we show that same respect for God today?
Kwa hiyo kama sisi leo tutaonyesha nini kama vile kuonyesha Mungu tunamheshimu?
Perhaps as you get a plate of food at a meal and you're ready to eat, you wait and you pray to the Lord to bless that food before you eat it. Perhaps that's the way you show respect.
Mfano umewekewa chakula hapo mezani. Kabla hujakila unaomba. Sasa ile kitendo cha kuomba kabla hujakila kinaonyesha nini? Heshima, kwa sababu uweza kuomba kwanza kabla hujakula.
Another way that you could show respect is to pray first thing when you wake up in the morning to start your day off with God. That's another way you could show respect.
Jambo lingine ambalo unaweza kuonyesha heshima kwa dunia hii ya leo ni unapoamka asubuhi, kitendo cha kwanza kabla ya chochote utanguliza nani? Mungu kwa sala. Kuonyesha heshima kwa Mungu.
any way that you can find to show respect to God will be a good thing. Good. Are there any other questions?
Asking for today to worship in mountains, is it a sin as when the time of Moses people used to worship in mountains?
To worship on mountains? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I don't think it's a sin to worship on a mountain, but I think it would be a sin to say that someone has to worship on a mountain. I think that a good passage for him to look at, if he wants to, is John chapter 4, verses 21 through 24. Now, we won't necessarily read all of this today, but it actually says Jesus is talking to a woman in Samaria, and he says to her, "The time is coming when you're not going to worship me on the mountain or anywhere, but you're going to worship the Father. It's more important what we're doing and who we're worshiping rather than where we're doing it." Does that help answer the question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Any others? The word godliness. I tell you what, I'd like to do that, and I'm going to take some time next week and talk about that word more. I'm going to back up next week and go over that more, because I agree, I think we need to talk about it. But it's trying to behave in your life the way that God wants you to. Let's do what?
He is understood. He's waiting for next week.
Good. Let's talk about that more next week, because I agree. I think we need to talk about it more. Okay. Any other questions?
Is it a must for today Christians to go to mountains?
Absolutely not. I don't see in the New Testament where the Christians made a point to go to a mountain or to go to a certain place to worship. I do not think that the place is important at all. And okay, you can also refer him, and I'm sure you did, to Matthew 18:20, where Jesus says, "Where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am among them." So, wherever we're worshiping God is fine, as long as we're worshiping. Any other questions? No more questions?
Is it important for Christians to fast in nowadays?
To fast? That is an interesting question, and I want us to talk about that next week as well, but I can't remember where the verse is, but it says, Jesus is talking and he says, when you pray, do it like this, and when you fast, do it like this.
Anasema anafurahia sana hilo swali, swali nzuri ambalo anataka kufanya nini, ukizungumzia pia wiki ijayo, lakini kwa uchache ya kwamba kuna mambo ambayo wakati tunafunga tunafanya hivi, wakati tunasali tunafanya hivi. Kwa hiyo ameomba iwe kipindi kinachokuja kukumbusha hilo swali.
This is actually discussed. I looked up the passage, and it's in Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18.
Matthew 6, mstari wa 16 hadi 18. Matthew 6, 16 hadi 18.
And this will be something that we study a little bit more next week. I want us to spend some time on this. But in Matthew chapter 6 here, if we back up a little bit in verse 5, he's telling the people that are listening to him here, when you pray, don't be like a hypocrite. And then in verse 7 he says, when you pray, don't be like the Gentiles. And then he says in verse 16, when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites do. So this may be an implication here that we need to be fasting at some point during our lives. So I'd like for you to study this passage, and I'm going to study it as well, and I want us to really talk about this next week. Is that an acceptable answer for now? Can we wait till next week to discuss this further?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Any other questions?
Verses, it was said that if you are fast, don't fast like a hypocrite. So he wants to know when a hypocrite fasts, how is he, how he looks.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely talk about this next week, but for right now, what he's saying in verse 16 is, when you fast, don't do it so that other people know that you're fasting. Don't make yourself look sick and tired and tell people that you're fasting. Do it for the right reasons. Do it for the Lord, not so other people will think you're good because you're fasting.
Usionyeshe kwamba umefunga, hiyo ni siri yako wewe na nani? Na kwa hiyo kama mimi nimefunga, sina haja kumwambia wewe hata mimi. Kwa hiyo tunaweza kuwa wote, lakini usijue mimi nimefanya nini. Hilo ndio la kusema.
Is that good?
Yes.
Good, good. Any others?
To know the duration, the time period of fasting, is there a limited time to fast, or it is like how many hours or how many days?
I don't think that that's ever addressed in the New Testament, and we'll definitely talk more about it next week, but there's never a time where it says you need to do this for this long, or you need to make sure you don't eat for 2 days or 3 days. It never says a time. It just says what it says here in Matthew chapter 6. So the New Testament doesn't answer that question, and I don't think I can either. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, let's end in a closing prayer, and we'll dismiss. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you at the close of our study.
Baba wa mbinguni, tunakuja kufikia mwisho wa kipindi chetu.
And God, we thank you for the study that we've just had.
Tunashukuru kwa tuliyojifunza.
And thank you so much for giving us your word where we can study it and try to make our lives more like what you want them to be. And God, thank you for blessing the congregation at Mosquito River. And thank you for blessing those that have attended the class today and help them to study your word daily. And God, please bless Gasper and the other teachers there that are helping with that class.
Bariki Gasper na wale ambao wanasaidiana nao katika darasa hilo.
And please help them to be doing so in a way that is pleasing to you. And God, it is all of our hope that we are able to have a home in heaven with you one day. And God, please help us to know how to live our lives so that you will find us pleasing and you will allow us to do so. And God, please bless us through these next few days until this class meets again. And if it be your will, please help us to meet again next week and study more of your word. And please forgive us when we sin, God. And it's in your Son's name that we pray, amen.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me teach some more.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, how's the school going?
The school is proceeding well. We thank God because everything is going well.
Great, great. And
we have some new students from another province.
Great.
From Tanga.
So, great. I'm glad that you're able to teach that class. And do you teach the class every day?
Yes, but in the morning I teach class because I have not yet received some other teacher from different place.
Uh-huh.
Because when they come here, they need to have the place. They need to have some fund for their families where they come from. So our congregation is still young.
Right. Well, yes, great.
But Brother Stafford tell me that he will try to buy a TV and DVD for some lesson to teach some more students.
Hey, that would be great. That would be great.
Yes, brother.
It's great. Okay. It's great to see you, and it's great to talk to you. It's great to talk to you again.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.